Victory means victory over someone or something. Someone or something is conquered. So in the Buddha's case, who or what was this? Who or what was actually conquered? And the answer is very simple. The Buddha conquered Mara, the evil one. And after conquering Mara, he attained enlightenment. In a sense, his conquest of Mara, his Mara Vijaya, as it is called, was his attainment of enlightenment. Probably you have all read descriptions of that famous episode, the episode of the conquest of Mara, the Mara Vijaya. Or perhaps you've seen it depicted in Buddhist art. So how is it depicted? What do we actually see? The picture that we see is one in which in the center sits the Buddha. That is to say, the Buddha to be. He sits beneath the wide-spreading branches of a ficus religiosus, or sacred fig tree, subsequently known in honor of the Buddha as the Bodhi tree, or tree of enlightenment. And he sits not on a lotus throne, I'm afraid, that came rather later, but he sits on a heap of grass. We're told, in fact, it was kusha grass, a grass which was used in Vedic sacrifice and which has all sorts of symbolic associations for Indians. But anyway, he sits on a heap of grass. And he's not alone, apparently. He is surrounded on all sides by thousands upon thousands of fearsome figures, all horribly misshapen and deformed. And some of these horrible misshapen figures are whirling aloft enormous clubs. Some are spitting fire. Some are in the act of hurling great rocks, even whole mountains that they've torn up by the roots. Some, again, are discharging arrows. And these are the forces of Mara, the evil one. And Mara himself stands to one side. Sometimes he's depicted actually riding an elephant, but in any case, to one side, directing his forces, directing this great and terrible army of his in their onslaught on the Buddha. But the Buddha, as he is soon to become, takes no notice. He's completely surrounded by an aura of golden light. And as soon as the various missiles touch this aura, they all turn into flowers and they fall to the ground. They fall at the Buddha's feet as though in unintentional worship. The Buddha is undisturbed. He just carries on meditating. He doesn't take any notice even when Mara summons his three daughters and orders them to dance before the Buddha, to dance in the most attractive and seductive manner that they can possibly manage. So Mara retires defeated. The forces of Mara disappear, and his three daughters withdraw in confusion. And the Buddha is left alone, alone beneath the Bodhi tree, alone on his heap of kusha grass. And he just carries on meditating. He just continues meditating. And sitting there, he attains enlightenment. Such is the well-known episode. But like other well-known episodes in the Buddha's life, in the Buddha's career, it is liable to be misunderstood. We can all understand that the episode is symbolic, that it's not to be taken literally, or rather, that it is not to be taken only literally, but we do not understand, usually, that the episode of the Mara Vijaya was not the only episode of its kind to occur in the Buddha's life. We don't understand, usually, that it was not the Buddha's only victory. Indeed, far from being his only victory, the Mara Vijaya represented the culmination of a whole series of victories. And this evening, I want to consider those victories, or at least some of those victories. Because after all, it's only to be expected that there should be a series of victories. It's only to be expected that this series of victories should culminate in the Buddha's Mara Vijaya. And it's only to be expected, we may say, because spiritual life is like that. One doesn't develop the fullness of wisdom all at once, or the fullness of compassion all at once. One doesn't develop the fullness of energy and heroism necessary to defeat Mara and his forces all at once. One doesn't develop any spiritual quality all at once. One develops it gradually. As the Buddha himself says in the Dhammapada, as a pot becomes full by the constant falling of drops of water, so little by little does a man fill himself with good. Little by little, before the great victory, before the Buddha's great victory, therefore, there will have been many lesser victories. Victories without which the great victory could hardly have taken place. Let us therefore look at some of these lesser victories. Before we do so, however, let me remark that though I have called them lesser victories, they are such only in relation to the great victory, the victory over Mara. In themselves, these lesser victories are such as we might find it very hard even to imagine.